All right, Alexander, let's talk about the Senate hearing with the Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. And I don't want to get into the many of the interviews here. Okay, Ted Cruz was interesting. His interview with Jack Dorsey, obviously he focused on Jack Dorsey. The Democrats were pleading for the Republican for the social media big tech CEOs to censor more. They actually wanted more censorship. The Democrats, Blumenthal was begging Zuckerberg to take down Steve Bannon's War Room page and censor more conservative voices. Okay, fine. At the end of the day, I think there wasn't really much to this hearing except for one exchange between Josh Hawley and Mark Zuckerberg. Hawley came prepared. He had a whistleblower from inside of Facebook who revealed to Josh Hawley that Facebook has two programs running. One of them is called Centra. The other one is called Tasks. Centra, in short, in brief, Centra is a program that Facebook runs where they track a user's behavior and where he goes on the internet after he or she leaves Facebook. Okay, this probably doesn't come as much as a surprise to many people that Facebook is tracking its users, but still, it doesn't make it right that they're tracking their users everywhere they go on the internet. Obviously, they're collecting this data. The user is not aware as to what's going on, and I'm absolutely positive that they're selling this data to advertisers, but they're also using this data, I imagine, to censor and deplatform people as well. So they may see if I'm on Facebook and then I go to a site that maybe Facebook doesn't approve of, they're logging that into the database and they may use it against me, which obviously I don't need to say is, puts up a lot of red flags. The other more interesting program that Josh Hawley revealed to Zuckerberg that he's aware of is a program called Tasks. Now, Tasks is actually something that we have been reporting on, but now we actually have the concrete evidence that it exists. We've said many times in our conversations that big tech, Twitter, Facebook, and Google, they operate as a cartel. Now we know as a fact that Facebook, Twitter, and Google, they share information with each other. Facebook puts it on this program that they call Tasks, which is like a to-do list, and then they share that to-do list with Twitter and with Google. And I imagine the to-do list has information like we need to demonetize this page. We need to throttle down this page's views. We need to deplatform or censor this user. And that information is shared across the other big tech companies, Google and Twitter, in this instance. So what do you make of the information that Josh Hawley gave to us that he exposed to the world? Zuckerberg admitted to this. See, it was mealy-mouthed. I mean, he was speaking out of both sides of his mouth, but he did admit to the fact that these programs are running. He used the excuse that, okay, if employees are communicating between each other, that's expected. I have a different belief. I think these are orders from the CEOs, but they're off the record orders to the employees that they're going to share this information between each other, but I think it's all done off the record. And that's the cover that's provided to Zuckerberg and Dorsey and the big tech CEOs. This is actually a big revelation, and it just confirms what we've been reporting on, that there is collusion in Silicon Valley, and that they do act not only as monopolies, but as a cartel.
Absolutely, that's exactly what they do, and that is exactly what these two things do. Because to be absolutely clear, if Tasks was not doing the things that we are talking about, Zuckerberg would say, and he would say, under no circumstances do we engage in any kind of collusion with other companies. Tasks doesn't do that. This is what Tasks does, and he would invite the Senate people to come along and discuss it with them and explain to them in clear and precise words exactly what Tasks does in fact do. The fact that he engaged in this extraordinarily evasive response shows that he is actually very, very uneasy about it, because if you noticed, he also admitted over the course of the testimony that active collusion would be wrong. He didn't say, I've given instructions that under no circumstances should collusion take place. He didn't say we have, you know, clear rules against it. He didn't say what those rules were. He didn't talk about, you know, a manual or a book or whatever it is, those kind of things, which is what a proper CEO who has made proper, given proper instructions, would be doing. He gave, as you correctly said, mealy-mouthed answers, which confirmed its existence. And as I said, he came over, I thought, looking extremely uneasy. Can I very quickly make one little parenthetical point, which is that once again, I have to say, both Dorsey and Zuckerberg did come across to me as very strange people over the course of this testimony. I mean, I think the American people watching them, will have, many of them will have undoubtedly come to the same impression. But that's, you know, that's by the way. I don't want to dwell on that either. But colluding in this way, and let's use that word, colluding in that in this way between companies operating in the same general field, because that's what they do. They are both companies that are on the internet. They're internet platforms. They provide messaging and exchange of information services. That's what they do. Collusion between them in that kind of way, as you rightly say, is the classical form of a cartel. It is, if you like, not just collusion, it's a conspiracy. And that's what we are now very, very close, not just to confirming as between us, but I would say very close to confirming in court. And I'd be very interested to see, very interested to see whether the Biden Justice Department goes ahead, or if it, we do have a Biden Justice Department. I want to parenthesize that because I'm not saying there is going to be one. But if there is a Biden Justice Department, whether it will go ahead with the antitrust action that has now been brought against Google, and whether that will continue to be expanded. Because the evidence, I'm talking now about the legal evidence, evidence that passes the legal standard of what is, of what evidence proves something, you know, what proves something in court, that barrier has now almost been reached. When I say almost been reached, I mean, we are just there. A little bit of investigation, a few real questions, and I don't mean just questions in a Senate hearing. I mean, questions by, you know, proper counsel, legal counsel in a court hearing, perhaps questions by, investigators. And bear in mind, cartels and conspiracies can engage in criminal behavior. So they may, I'm not saying there has been, by the way, but, you know, there might be grounds to launch more detailed investigations. If there is evidence of a cartel, I think that kind of evidence, which, as I said, passes the legal standard of proof, has now almost been reached. It is within sight. It's like, you know, you walk through an orchard and you see the apple on the tree and you can almost reach it. It's almost there in your hand. So all it needs is just a little push. Can I also say, this was, in my opinion, a more productive hearing than the previous one. We went beyond posturing. We actually got some real questions. And we got out of Zuckerberg some actual information. And as you correctly said, he didn't come across at all well. He came across evasively and far from forthcoming. And that, of course, opens up the way for more inquiries further along.
Yeah, I mean, if Trump takes the White House, then I think we're there. And yeah, I think we're going to finally deal with this big tech problem. Yes. If Biden takes the White House, then I think they have bought another 2 years, maybe until the House flips, which I think it's set to flip to the Republicans. Mm-hmm. Of course, that doesn't mean that it is going to influence the Department of Justice. But once again, you're going to have more power in the Republicans so that they can pursue some sort of action against big tech, because they'll have the House and the Senate. At least that would be what I'm seeing, you know, going ahead maybe 2 years if Biden does get the White House, because I think Biden will cut them a lot of slack. And I think you're going to probably see more censorship from them for at least a 2-year period. So they're just buying some time. And you are starting to see why the election was so critical for them, because having Biden in the White House does buy them 2 years. But with this whistleblower information and Josh Hawley laying it all out there and his question of Zuckerberg, whether it's Trump and now or in 2 years, you're going to have some sort of breakup or antitrust or something happening. I don't think this is a Section 230 thing anymore, publisher platform thing. I think these companies are going to be broken apart because they're colluding with each other and they're price fixing. I'm sure they're price fixing on their ads. I'm sure it's obvious that they're working together to deplatform and censor people. I mean, they're rigging this market from top to bottom.
I completely agree. Can I just say, I mean, it was interesting that actually Dorsey was trying to shift the whole topic back to Section 230. And he was trying, I mean, this was almost as if he was saying, well, you know, we're prepared to look at Section 230. We're prepared to make moves in one direction or another. So in a way, when you say that, you know, we've now moved beyond the Section 230 issue, clearly we have. He would almost prefer to go back to that rather than face up to the far more serious issues that are now, coming over the horizon. Can I say the big tech companies, in my opinion, are making exactly the same mistake that all big monopolists do. As you rightly say, they are buying themselves time by abusing their monopoly positions and by engaging in even more spectacular acts of collusion. But by doing so, what they are doing, in effect, is they are exposing their practices and the reality of their monopoly even more. What really intelligent people would be doing, and that's where I come back to the fact that, you know, I did find Zuckerberg and Dorsey really rather unusual people. What really clever people would do would be to come along and say, not now, by the way, but, you know, a couple of months ago, before the election, you know, we accept there's been lots of mistakes, lots of things have gone wrong. We need to work with the Senate. We need to work with civil society. We need to work with our customer base to try and clear things up and to sort things out. And then if they'd done that in a way which might not actually have made a huge difference in practice, because, you know, you can, as we discovered, you can manipulate information flows in all kinds of ways, in all very subtle ways. But, you know, they could have actually said, well, look, we are responsive. We do understand there are problems. We do understand their concerns. We are addressing these concerns. We are good, reputable companies. Please cut us some slack. We are trying to do the best that we can. Instead, they went all out. They were, shadow banning, censoring, prohibiting, doing all these kind of things in a way that, of course, pleases some Democrats who are now, by the way, as you also rightly said, they're not satisfied. It's like throwing meat to a wolf. It just comes back and asks for more and more and more and more. So they, up to a point, please some Democrats, but they will never satisfy the Democrats enough. And at the same time, 70 million Americans, 77, I mean, I think it's 73 million Americans have now voted for Trump, and the numbers are still gradually ticking upwards. And now have seen them for what they actually are, and they've lost a lot of support that they previously had in Congress. So I think this was, if I may say so, foolish, but it's the kind of foolishness that monopolies always engage in. They never, ever step back and say to themselves, maybe I'm overreaching. Maybe I'm going too far. Maybe what I need to do is to be a little bit more careful about what I'm doing. Maybe I need to rein in a little. There was a brief moment, by the way, earlier this year when Zuckerberg met some of the Republicans, including Byron York, who's written about it, and seemed to be hinting that he might actually lay off a little and start rowing back. And in fact, what happened, as we saw on the, was the exact opposite. They doubled down on their tactics. They went far further than they needed to, well, that was wise for them to do. They've antagonized the Republicans. They've exposed the extent to which they work together. They've exposed the heavy-handed way they act. And now, in 2 years' time, they'll be in serious trouble.
Yeah, I mean, look, they went way too far. I mean, they're censoring the president of the United States to this very day. Absolutely. That's beyond crossing a red line. I mean, they've gone way over the cliff.
Well, indeed. I mean, it was quite extraordinary because Dorsey was even talking about the possibility. I mean, he was hinting that, when Trump ceases to be president, he might be thrown off Twitter. I mean, that's a suicidal thing to do. I mean, that's a crazy thing to do. This man, as I said, whom he's talking of throwing off Twitter, has just won 73 million votes. I mean, is that really what you're proposing to do? I mean, he is your single most important reason for existing. Are you really that, I was going to use a very strong word, but are you really that stupid that you would do a thing like that and talk about that in front of Republican senators? I mean, that was a wildly odd thing to say. And again, as I said, he's trying to appease the Democrats, which he will never achieve. He will never succeed in doing that. And what he's doing, of course, is he's exposing himself ever more as the kind of monopolist that he actually is. And as I said, unwise, foolish policy. He had a very strong position. He could, if he'd acted properly right the way through, he could have said, I'm just a platform. I'm not here to censor or ban anyone. That's something I never do. If that had been the policy all along, the Democrats couldn't have laid a glove on him. The Democrats are now angry with him because they think he's not doing enough. And the Republicans are totally opposed to him. But it's the mistake all monopolists make. Go back to Rockefeller, you will see, back in J.D. Rockefeller, the first, the one who set up Standard Oil, it was exactly the mistake he made.
Yeah, well, they can't pull back. They're all in.
Now it's far too late. I mean, the game is lost. I mean, whatever happens now, people will never forget what happened in 2020.
No, they're all in. And I mean, look, these guys, these Dorsey guys and Zuckerberg and the Google guys, they've taken the golden ticket. They've sold their soul to the Democrats, to the DNC, to the intel agencies, to the deep state apparatus. And, by selling their soul to these institutions, they've become incredibly wealthy, wealthy beyond their imagination. But with that wealth, they're called upon to do certain things. And in this instance, I believe they were called upon to take Trump out. That was their task. And they did it. And they went beyond our imagination as to how much they could censor by putting these little messages under Trump's tweets and throttling his voice downwards. I mean, they've taken it to an extreme level, but that's what they were called on to do. They did it. But now it's like you said, the Dems, the DNC, the intel agencies, the deep state is going to want more and more from them. On the flip side, 75 million people are bailing out of their platform. That's a huge hit. Twitter will be the first big tech company to collapse. The deep state's not going to care. The intel agencies aren't going to care. No, it's going to be another carcass that they're just going to step over. Dorsey's he's probably squirreling away a couple hundred million, a billion somewhere so that he can, end up on some island doing yoga and smoking, exotic plants. But at the end of the day, they're finished. The writing's on the wall, whether it's with a Trump presidency now or in 2 to 4 years when everything flips, they're on their last legs. Maybe Google will morph into something. Yes. Along the lines of how Microsoft morphed into something else. But Twitter's in bad shape and Facebook, well, Zuckerberg did not instill a lot of confidence.
I completely agree. I mean, I think Google has managed to keep a much greater distance from all of this than the others. Dorsey looks very exposed to me. And frankly, after this hearing, so does Zuckerberg. And as I said, he did make promises to the Republicans earlier this year, which he has completely failed to keep. I mean, I would quickly add also, by the way, and I talked about them, you know, they behave like monopolists. If you look at the monopolists of the past, people like J.P. Morgan, John D. Rockefeller, and those kind of people, they never openly tried to manipulate U.S. national politics. You never had a situation where, you know, Morgan and Rockefeller and Carnegie and all those people came along and said, you know, we want him to win and we're going to do everything we can to stop someone else winning. I mean, they never actively and in this very blatant and open way.
It was done in the shadows.
Exactly. It was done in the shadows. These people came out and they did it in the open. I mean, as you said, I mean, Twitch was still censoring the president of the United States. They acted, as we know, in an extraordinary way over a certain story relating to a certain laptop. They've never explained why they acted so completely differently in allowing every kind of story and fantasy about Russiagate to circulate. And you can come up with example after example after example. You cannot row back from this one. Far too many people, for one thing, have been hurt. And I don't just mean, you know, Republican senators and Republican congressmen, angry though no doubt are. I don't even mean Donald Trump, though he is a major adversary, as I said, the man who won 73 million plus votes. I mean, you know, far too many people who tried to build up businesses, people who tried to go to the news, who use the internet as news. They are very, very angry now. And they are a political force. I mean, obviously, everything will happen, as it always does in the United States, I expect, through a combination of, you know, the ballot box, political challenges in Congress, the law. But I think now the Rubicon has been crossed, I'm using lots of metaphors today. They've passed that point of no return. And I think they've also reached that point where more and more people, they're not useful to them anymore. I mean, in the sense that there are now alternatives out there, major alternatives, as we know, growing up to Twitter. Almost certainly before long, there'll be alternatives to Facebook. Even people who want to run pages about, you know, cats or dogs or whatever, or, you know, ballet or whatever. I mean, those people have political opinions too. And they're not oblivious to what has happened. And as I said, they went not just too far, they went far too far and acted far too openly.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, if I was one of these downstream companies, maybe one of the hosting companies that was following Facebook's lead and censoring, or PayPal or MailChimp and WordPress are now also censoring. But if I were any of these downstream type of companies or these infrastructure companies, I would reel it back very, very quickly, because absolutely, these big tech companies are going to take a big fall very absolutely soon. And I mean soon, absolutely, maybe 1 to 4 years, 5 years.
Absolutely. The other thing that's going to happen is if legal proceedings are pressed, you will see more and more people whistleblowing. I mean that is almost in the nature of this, given, as I said, that there has to be a possibility of legal action being taken against individuals. And that's going to make a lot of people, once that prospect starts to loom over the horizon, very, very nervous, and they're going to start, as I said, looking for whistleblower protections. So this whole thing could collapse very quickly, like a house of cards.
Yep, I agree with you there, and I think you're going to see maybe better managed companies. My guess, Amazon, Apple, they've been kind of quiet. I think better managed companies will also take a step back and say, you know what? We're not going to go down this road.
Absolutely.
There's a big difference between Apple, Amazon, and the management level there, and something like Facebook, which obviously is at Twitter. Twitter is obviously just poorly managed.
Absolutely so. I mean, I think they've completely lost track of what they are. As I said, I think Dorsey, I mean, he cannot contain his ideological preferences. And when a CEO is more focused on that than he is on developing the business of his company, then that company is doomed. And so is its business, because the one is incompatible with the other.
Yeah, I agree with you. And even though Amazon and Apple have been censoring, I would also tell them, dial it back.
Absolutely. Dial it back, because... but they haven't gone that far, you see. That's the difference. They can dial it back. I think Twitter now, and I think Facebook also. I don't think they can.
Yeah, well, like I said, they took the golden ticket, and nothing comes for free.
No.
That's for sure. So when the deep state came calling, they obliged with, they did more than they should have done.
Absolutely true. I mean, can I just say, nothing comes for free, but you can achieve it honestly, or you can take the quick way, and then you can get yourself into all kinds of trouble. And that's, it seems to me, what's happened.
All right. We'll leave it there. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Guys, like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Hit that like, share this video, and share this channel. Share the channel that we have on BitChute, Rumble, and Odyssey as well. Go to us on those platforms that are doing really, really well, and share the channel on those platforms with everybody you know. And also, please donate to us on Patreon, Subscribestar, PayPal, Bitcoin. We have all those links in the description box down below. Of course, go to the Durant shop. That really helps us out. Pick up some Durant merchandise. We've got shirts, mugs, hats, all kinds of great things. You'll find links for that down below as well. And also go to the Patriotic Legacy. Pick up the Patriot Beacon 3. I've got the flashlight here. If you don't, you have it? All right.
Obviously, of course I do.
Okay.
You just have to be careful, because my dogs will see it in a moment.
All right. Durant 20 gets you a 20% discount. Absolutely. And you're entered into the contest to win a Patriot Beacon 3, the black color, as well as a Durant shirt with our logo across the chest right there.
Just to remind everybody, the best flashlight in the world, made in the United States, incredibly strong, incredibly rugged, does lots of things, from the fact that it's got a compass in its handle, to the fact that it has an incredibly powerful beam, to the fact that it's solar powered. It's the best flashlight in the world, made in the United States, but ships internationally. So you can be anywhere in the world watching this program. You can fully participate and get yourself a Patriot Beacon 3 and an amazing Durant shirt. And please also come to our shop, find the great things that we have there, wonderful magic mugs with the flags of many countries, this being Australia. We can also find our hats, like trucker's hats and baseball caps. This one has the flag of Great Britain. The amazing shirts, one of which will come with the Patriot Beacon 3 if you win. And also polo shirts too, and hoodies, and stickers, and also our ebooks on our shop. And as Alex rightly said, you can find us on our other platforms, BitChute, Rumble, Odyssey, Library, really strong developing platforms also. And you can also help us by coming to Patreon and Subscribestar. So we need your support. We provide you with these wonderful products in our shop. We provide you with this wonderful analysis in our programs. Please come and join us in our next program.
All right, Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.